y muchos los apuros en alta mar. Y cuentan que no saben.
Everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I'm Kate Romero, your host for the evening, and I want to thank BBS Radio and Don Newsom and Seth over there for helping us have this wonderful platform to raise consciousness using media and Hollywood. I have for our guest this evening a real treat for you. His name is Joe Nunziata, which is so much fun to say.
You said it well.
Joe Nunziata. He delivers a revolutionary new sales philosophy specifically designed to turn you and your team or whomever into magnets for new business. And Joe's patented stop chasing business approach is at the heart of his attractor sales system. What I'd like to do is just read a little bit about you, a little bit about Joe's background, and then without further ado, bring Joe on to speak with us about spiritual selling. Joe Nunziata is an internationally known speaker and best-selling author of Spiritual Selling, How to Use the Attractor Sales System to Create Abundance in Your Business, forwarded by none other than Dr. Joe Vitale, author of The Attractor Factor, and also one of the stars of The Secret, who was on our show last January. Hello, Joe, if you're listening. As a sales veteran with over 20 years of experience, he became disillusioned with traditional sales methods. Determined to create a new, more fulfilling sales system, he decided to combine powerful spiritual energy principles with proven sales strategies, and the result is the revolutionary new attractor sales system designed to help you attract the perfect outcome to anything that it is that you're selling. And without further ado, I would like to welcome Joe Nunziata.
Hello. Very good, and you said it so well.
I did. Yes, it's fun to say your name. So the book that you've written, and when can we get this book? Is it out already?
The book actually came out on August 17th, and we did an Amazon promo, and last week we were number one in four categories on Amazon, so we're really excited to be off to a very quick start.
Congratulations. Wow,
thank
I know
you.
Joe Vitale sells his books before they ever come out. They're
That's
already
right.
sold. So this is good news.
Yes, it's very good.
And it's called Spiritual Selling, How to Use the Attractor Sales System to Create Abundance in Your Business. I understand that you came upon this new way of marketing and selling partly because of, largely because of many challenges that you experienced in your own life. I'd like to, at this time, have our listeners go to your website, if they would, being this is Internet radio.
Mm.
It's www.jnunziata, that's JNUNZIATA.com. And just poke around there. And
they could also go to spiritualselling.com. I have another website for spiritual selling if they want to go there.
Oh, excellent. Spiritualselling.com as well. And you can be looking at that while we're chatting here. And so what was the main thing that made you just say, I'm tired of this and I'm not going to take it anymore. There's got to be a better way. What was that turning point for you?
You know, I would like to say, you know, people say to me, oh, you're spiritual. Did you have some kind of experience or like, you know, Moses came down from the mountain or one of those? And I would like to say that, but that's not what happened. To me,
mm-hmm.
it was really desperation and frustration. And I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. Started out, I lost my dad when I was 12 years old. He was a cop who died on the job. And I decided when I was a young person that I was going to become an entrepreneur and salesman. That's what I wanted to do. The people we knew had money. That's what they did. So that's what I want. That was the path I wanted to take. And I really said, felt I could go out. And, you know, coming from New York, it's a very, as you know, very aggressive kind of go out there, make it happen place. And I thought, hey, I'm going to go out, do all this stuff. I was a very hard worker, very good student as far as, you know, studying business and going to seminars and reading books. And I'll give you the short version, Kate, just to move us along. But working very hard for a long period of time, starting right after high school, and I ended up in a couple of different businesses. And by the time I was 30 years old, I had gone through two bankruptcies. And that was really what was the thing that motivated me to look for something different, because all of the traditional methods and, you know, write your goals down and do affirmations and, you know, all these things that I had read and all these books and techniques, and I had gone through all these things, and I was, as I said, I did them to the letter, and all I had to show for all my effort and energy were two bankruptcies. So that's really the thing that started me moving and looking for a different direction.
So, you know, there's a gift in everything. Everything is a gift, and when you find that gift, then things start moving forward again. But until you find that gift, that you pretty much stay stuck. And those two bankruptcies for you, it's what you did with it that really makes you who you are and really makes you an authority on what you're talking about, because you're living what you teach, obviously. And you're also doing teleseminars and spiritual selling teleseminar series and coaching programs that the listeners can register for on your website. And one of them is free, the No More Mental Barriers teleseminar, which is September 6, 2007. So if everybody would just go to the website, spiritualselling.com, that'll take them to the same website, won't it, Joe?
Oh, yeah, they'll, everything's linked together, but that's where they'll see all the information about spiritual selling and what's happening now.
That's wonderful. So how fast did you see a turnaround in your lifestyle once you took note of those two bankruptcies and decided that that wasn't going to happen to you again?
Well, it was very slow, I have to say. I started out actually going to therapy for a couple of years and did that first. And then I got to a point where I said, okay, this is nice, but I need to go to the next thing. And then I started to learn about spirituality. And it was in the early time, and I'm going back, but this is a long time ago. We're talking 20 some odd years ago. But it was a very slow process, and I was still trying to kind of see how this really worked and did I really believe in it. And what happened for me, one of the pivotal moments for me was 1997 when I had a session with John Edward. I'm sure you know John Edward.
Yes.
And John Edward at the time, I live on Long Island here in New York, and John Edward lives about 30 minutes from me at that time.
And he's the host of Crossing Over, correct?
Right, he's the host of Crossing Over and the Medium and so forth. And in 1997, he was unknown. He didn't have any books out. He didn't have any TV show. He was just kind of a local guy here. He was known out here, but nobody else knew him. And I was driving around in my car one day, working at the time, selling advertising, which is what I was doing at that time. My wife called me in the car, and she said, you know, one of my friends made an appointment with John Edward, and it was still hard to get an appointment with him at that time. She said, she can't go, and I think you should go. And I didn't really even know who he was. I said, what is he? She said, oh, I think you just go. Don't worry about it. Trust me. And I went. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know what he did. And he connected me to my father, who had passed away when I was 12 years old. And, again, a lot of mystery was around that situation. We weren't sure how he died. There was a lot of things happening for me in my life and carrying that for over 25 years. And I sat down and came out of that session with him after he connected me to my father and really shed light on many subjects and many things that were bothering me for a long time. And I remember sitting in my car for about 45 minutes after that, and I said, wow, you know, there's something going on out here that is much bigger than me, and I need to really start to find out. So that was certainly one of the big turns, and then I started to really get into the work and meditation, and then I met different teachers and started to learn about chakras and energy, and so it was a long process over a long period of time. I tell people, I don't want them to think all of a sudden you wake up tomorrow morning and you do two or three of these things and everything changes. Everybody's different, obviously, in their lives, but it is a process that takes time to integrate, because you're really changing how you think, how you feel, more importantly, and how you function. It's not going to happen in 5 minutes, and I think that's part of it. I want people to understand that and be patient, to say, you know, you're really recoding your DNA, you're changing who you are internally, and obviously anything like that is going to take some time.
Absolutely, and there are many, many things in your book. I've just so enjoyed reading your book. It's just an incredible read. And it's not like a sales book at all. It's like it really is a book that will help you discover yourself and help you understand that you are who you are. You're not what you do, but in finding out who you are, you vastly improves what you do, because what you really want to do is you want to talk 30% of the time and let your customer or the person that you're selling to do 70% of the talking. And what you want to get at immediately, as quickly as possible, is where their pain is, what is their problem, and you want to show them how you can solve that for them rather than tell them all the neat tricks that your product can do, correct?
Yeah, one of the things I think, you know, coming through corporate sales as I did and so many people did, we really learned to be technique-driven. It was kind of like, okay, if he says this, you say this. If you say this, he says that. And it was almost like you were in there like a chess match. You were in there trying to figure out what to do to get the person. You know, there's all these how to get to a yes and blah, 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 how to close, how to do this. And really, to me, you know, I never liked all that kind of stuff, and I had a hard time with it. This was really about me saying, okay, can I connect with this person on an emotional level? Because if I can do that, then I can help them. And that was kind of the way I approach everything I do, whether it's a live speaking event or a teleclass or an interview like this. It's really about saying, hey, can I connect to these people? And then by doing that, I'm able to really understand what their problems are, what their pain is. And then by doing that, then I can really help them. And really, salespeople, to a large degree, we should look at ourselves and entrepreneurs and everybody, really, for that matter. We should really see ourselves as healers. And if we see ourselves as healers, your approach to selling and business is very, very different than when you look at it as, okay, this is about dollars, and this is about the bottom line, and this is about the technique to get me to the top of the ladder. It really changes how you feel, and it makes the work much more fulfilling. And that's really what I wanted to get across in the book, to say you can still make a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with it. I want you to make a lot of money, but I also want you to understand this: there are certain things that come out of it, especially sales, because as a salesperson or an entrepreneur or anybody involved in business, we have the opportunity to touch so many people on a regular basis, where a normal office worker who sees their 5 or 6 or 10 people a week, we see hundreds of people or thousands of people in the course of a year, and we're able to really impact people in a very big way. So I want people to go out and be on that mission, as opposed to just saying, "Why, well, if I do this, this, and this, I'll make 3 more sales this month." And that was really the message that I wanted to get across.
Oh, and you did it brilliantly. I recommend this book to everybody listening, no matter what it is that you do. And I also know that almost 90% of all purchases are made to relieve pain. Many of the services that I offer in the work that I do is to relieve pain, like quantum hypnotherapy and life coaching and this sort of thing, which is any time that you're wanting to be of service and be a healer, like you said, your physical needs will be provided for, and you will make a connection with a person on a human level, and you won't just make a sale. You'll have a friend for life. You'll have a customer for life. You'll have loyalty, and you will be remembered in a wonderful way, and you'll be treated like family. That's the way I see it.
And absolutely. You know, you start to, again, connect. It's a connecting thing as opposed to a selling thing.
Yes.
And, it's really weird. When I talk to people all the time who are starting businesses, and I used to do a seminar. My first book was called No More 9-to-5, and I was teaching people how to start to get out of the 9-to-5. And these people say, "No, I really can't sell anything. I'm really nervous. I don't want to sell people. I feel uncomfortable." So this is all the things that happen to people, because they go into a selling mode and they start to change their energy. So what you have to understand is, the minute — and I always say to people in any level of sales, and then this could be somebody who's selling for 20 years, and I say to them, the minute you think you're selling something, that's when you get yourself in trouble.
Oh, yeah, so, you become a predator.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I talk about this in the book, and, you know, we learn predatory selling. Chase people down until they, you know, you got them. So
exactly.
This is different.
Very different, incredibly different. I mean, it's as I've been reading the book, I wouldn't want to make the mistake of misleading our listeners to think this is just a book to teach you how to sell things. It's way more than that. It's much more than that. This has got more heart and soul in it than almost any other marketing book I've ever picked up. And Joe Vitale has a wonderful way to, he has a book that I read called Spiritual Marketing.
Yes.
That he wrote for his sister, and it turned out to be a bestseller. So you just see, when you're trying to do something to help somebody, you just never know what's going to come of it. It could be the next big thing in your life, and what makes your success and your life better too, not just the person you wrote it for. So if you don't mind, I'd like to just read a few of the chapter titles to our listeners to give them sort of an idea of what's in the book. It's How I Became Spiritual, which is a great chapter, and you can largely thank your wife for that, correct?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, for the John Edwards hookup and getting you in on that appointment. And that really, I could see how that shifted your life, because the mystery around what really happened to your father, you know, as a kid, you don't know what happened to your dad. You don't know if he was murdered, if it was an accident, if he took his own life. What was it? And to get some kind of closure on that then freed you up to move on and to stop maybe sabotaging yourself in a way that you weren't conscious to, is what I got from that chapter. And the next chapter is The Power of Your Chakras. Three is Dealing with Unconscious Guilt and Fear, which is an awesome chapter. Four is How Do You Feel? Five, Taking the Easy Road. Six is Maintaining Your Energy. Seven, The Less I Think, The Better I Do. Boy, that's true.
That's one of my favorites, actually.
Yeah. Eight, Defining Your Mission. That's very important. Nine, The Brand and You. 10, The Number That Count, The Numbers That Count. 11, Designing and Winning Sales Process. 12, Building Your Lead Funnel System. 13, Adding a Little Marketing Polish. And 14, The Ultimate Victory. You also have in one of your chapters something about colors and how they affect your mood and how they make you feel. Want to tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, well, colors are a big thing. When you talk about, which is part of branding, obviously, when you look at companies that go out and spend all this millions and millions of dollars on this to try to select colors. And I was always, you know, avid reader of Brand Week and Ad Week and all these different magazines I used to read for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to realize, you know, we are stimulated by color in different ways. So what I always say to people is, and I actually have a color chart in the book,
mm-hmm.
where people can kind of look at the associations, but you have to understand that colors stimulate people in different ways. So you want to be congruent with the colors that you select based on what it is that you're trying to do and also based on who it is that you're marketing to. So the reason I picked blue and the reason I picked those colors that I use is because blue is a color that is tranquility, and that is the feeling that I want to convey to people about this, that sales can be something that's very peaceful and tranquil and also tremendously successful. So you want to look at a color that conveys your feeling. So, for example, if you were marketing to children, you would want to pick brighter colors because little kids, children react to yellows and oranges and things like that, where adults would not. So it's important to make sure, I always say to people, don't pick your favorite color. Pick the color that is best for the market that you're trying to get into. That's really what you want to do.
So know your demographic, basically.
Yeah, important.
Yes. So for blue, it's blue signifies dependability, water, sky, holiness, loyalty, patience, hope, and sadness. And the number one favorite color in America is blue.
Yeah, blue is the number one color, and it really is it. And also, when we look at shapes, there's a couple other things. When people want to use shapes in their marketing or their logos and things like that, we want to understand that the hard-edged shapes, like the triangles and the boxes and things like that, appeal to men more. Women don't like those shapes. Women like circles and ovals more.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, if I know I'm marketing to women, I don't want to use a triangle because that's something that's going to put them off.
Right.
So these are little things that go a long way in helping you put a little edge on what you're doing.
No, it's very, very well thought out. Very thoughtful indeed. And I just want to read the color green for, I know I have a listener tonight who loves to wear the color green and looks really good in it, and she's thinking of her own brand. So I want to read the color green. It's Ecology, Nature, Balance, Envy, and Spring. And it's preferred by opinion leaders and trendsetters. And she certainly is a leader and a trendsetter, so green may be good for her.
Now, one of the things about green that's very interesting is, years ago, you remember, Kate, I'm sure you know about a cookie called Snackwells.
Yes.
Which, of course, is a low-fat cookie, which to me was always an oxymoron, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
When they did the research, green is a color that is associated with health.
Right.
So when they decided to market that product, you notice that all those Snackwells are in green boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wanted people to have, oh, this is green, it's a healthy color. Then if you notice, what every other company did after that was, all the products that they came out with that were low fat or whatever they were, however they were marketing them, all those products, the next product actually was Pop-Tarts, they all used either a green box or a big green band or something across the front of the packaging, because Snackwells kind of got the market going, but the green was the color associated with health. So
mm-hmm.
this is, you know, we don't realize how we're being manipulated every day by these corporate companies.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know all this stuff, and, you know, they're kind of unconsciously getting us to do all these things.
Oh, yeah, it's hypnotic marketing.
Absolutely.
As Joe Vitale would tell you. So also in the chapter I'm looking at on colors, it says know your customer better than you know yourself. Elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, I think, you know, most of the training that I had gotten over the years was we really did not discuss the customer. We really discussed how to make a sale. And we spent very little time on the customer, who they were, what they wanted, what they were like, what their feelings were. It was really more about, okay, this is what we have to do, and we have to make a sale, and this is how we're going to do it. So my focus is completely different. My focus was always on, okay, my thing, the thing that's important to me, is I want to know who it is that I'm selling to on a level that I really understand how they feel, and I want to focus more energy on that than anything else. Because the bottom line is this, I don't have to do the best presentation. I don't have to be the best, have the best business card. I don't have to, my job primarily is to understand the person that I'm dealing with, because that's going to give me the best opportunity once again to go back to make that connection with them. So I want, you know, we don't want to focus always on how to do X, Y, Z. It's really about understanding these people. And when I do a seminar, when I do an event, when I write a book, when I do anything, my feeling is always about who these people, I understand the people that I'm speaking to, and I do it from that place. And that is really the place for people to work from. Because if you went into an appointment and you said, okay, my mission here is to really understand this person and really get connected with them, it really dramatically changes everything that you're doing and how you feel and the outcome as well.
Right. That's very well said. And tell us a little bit about making an emotional investment while you're doing these things.
Yeah, I always looked at it this way. When you're selling somebody something, or when you're involved in a transaction, because this is a transaction of energy at this point, and my feeling was I always liked people when I was dealing with them that were very emotionally invested in what they were buying. And because what happens is when somebody's emotionally invested in what they're buying, they're going to be much more interested and much more into it. Now, a lot of salespeople see these people and say, oh, this person's a real pain in the neck. This person's a real problem because they're asking a lot of questions and that maybe they see them as being difficult. But I love those people because, to me, that's a person who's emotionally invested in this deal. And when I'm going to do a speaking engagement, it's really interesting. The best events that I speak at are with the people who are really involved in what I'm going to do. They'll say to me, hey, Joe, I know you're coming out here. This is what we like to do. This is our issue. What do you want to talk about? How do you want to do it? They'll call me back. They'll send me something. They'll email me. Other people just book me. I never hear from them again. I show up. I mean, it's always a great time to do that. But the events that are better are the people that are into it. They're emotionally invested in what it is that they're purchasing. And those are the people that are your best customers, although a lot of salespeople perceive them as the big pests. I think they're the best.
Yes, I do too. And why don't you, because I'm a talent manager, as I was telling you before, I have a large entertainment industry audience. How can actors and entertainment industry folks apply this philosophy to what they go out and do every day?
Well, again, you know, energy is energy, so it really makes no difference. And one of the things that you don't know about me, which is not in the book, is that when I was in my early 20s, I worked in New York City down in the Village, and I worked in nightclubs, and I used to actually book bands, manage bands. I even worked at the Bitter End. I used to book their comedy nights and things. So I got a lot of exposure to people in the music industry and actors and comedians and, you know, these kinds of people and what they did.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really for them, again, a lot of this came for, you know, the way they feel about themselves and the energy that they vibrate really is a critical, critical thing for them to get work. So it's the same thing in sales. So you're out there trying to sell something, but if you feel you don't deserve the money, or if you feel, you know, you're not going to get this, or if you feel you're not as good as the next person, you're going to vibrate that, even though you may think in your mind, I'm not, I can fake it. But on an unconscious level, energy-wise, other people can feel that feeling. I'll tell you a great story. One of my clients is an actor in New York, and we go out to dinner one night, and he's telling me, and he's a guy that has done some acting, but he has two young children, and he's done a lot of these kind of like one day here, one day there, be in a movie, do this, do a photo shoot. He's been doing a lot of that stuff. And he said to me, you know, I get this call for this soap opera through a friend of mine, and they wanted someone for this part who was me. It was a certain age person with a certain look who actually knew sign language, believe it or not. You had to know sign language, which how many people know sign language? So he comes in, he said, I go in to read for this thing, and I walk out, and I'm like, this is my part. And then they said to me, okay, if we're going to go with you, here's the way it's going to work. We're going to give you a contract for 2 years. You're going to have to be here every day. You're going to have to come to the set. This is the way it works. You put in this many hours and all that, and we're going to pay you X amount of money. So he said a week later, they call him up, and he doesn't get the part.
Hmm.
And I said to him, why didn't you want that part? And he kind of took a step back. He's been working with me for a while, so he knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I knew you were going to ask me that question. He said, because I know you always say we create everything in our lives. And he said, I really thought about it, and I knew you would ask me that question. And he said, I didn't want the part because I felt like it was going to take time away from my family. And I said to him, okay, there's your crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make a decision to say, am I going to move my career forward, understanding that I have to sacrifice some time with my family, or are you not willing to do that? And there is an unconscious feeling that here's a part that was tailor-made, he was referred, he went in, they basically offered it to him, and he didn't get it.
Yeah, I run into that a lot as well, and I actually coach my clients and other actors on they feel that if they either have to choose between love relationship or career. And I make sure they know in no uncertain terms that one relies on the other. If you stop yourself in one place in your life, then you're stopping yourself everywhere. So without having a healthy, happy, loving relationship in your life, by holding off and having that, you're really depriving yourself from being a whole person. And your success, your career success, or your selling success, or whatever it is, all depends on how happy you are everywhere. All depends on how you're saying yes to yourself everywhere. Because I believe a happy relationship and a prosperous career go hand in hand. And I don't think you have to choose at all.
But we've been conditioned to believe that it's an either-or world. So you have to understand, we have sayings. It's funny, when I do my Law of Attraction seminar, I always put one of these. I always put different sayings up on the PowerPoint, and one of them is, "You can't have your cake and eat it too."
Mm-hmm.
So we've grown up hearing this our whole lives, and you don't realize how this seeped into your energy and seeped into your belief system.
Mm-hmm.
So our belief is, well, I can't have everything. I can't have money, and I can't have health, and I can't have a good marriage, and I can't have a good this, and I can't have a good relationship. You know, so we've been kind of conditioned to believe I can have this or I can have that, but I can't really have both. I actually call it that you can't have your cake and eat it too syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So people have to say to themselves, because people get very panicked over this, the bottom line is this, you're never going to have everything 100% in balance. That's something you have to accept.
Mm-hmm.
But you're always balancing. And there are certain times you're going to spend more time with your loved ones, and there are certain times you're going to spend more time working. And you have to accept that you can't be perfect. And you can't have everything perfect at every moment in your life. And that's a very big thing for people to accept. And if they're not willing to accept that, they are going to stop themselves from going forward.
Right, right. Now, in context of what you were saying about your friend who just completely walked away from the part that he could have had unconsciously, he didn't choose it because he didn't want to spend time away from his family.
Correct.
What would you say to our listeners who are actors who go through that sort of feeling themselves, even if it's unconscious? How would you have them prepare for their audition in a different way that would guarantee them to vibrate yes, yes, yes during the whole process?
Well, one of the things that we want to do is we want to look at this from a perspective and say, okay, you have to look at this from the potential to say, what happens if I get it? How am I going to feel? I always, because everything, all the work that I've done with the chakras and all the work that I've done with energy is all based on feelings.
Yes.
So the bottom line is, you want to say to yourself, I have to make sure that I understand how I will feel if this gets offered to me, so I am congruent going in there to say, I want this in my conscious mind, but I have to be congruent in my feelings to say, if I get this, this is how I'm going to feel. And it's really getting in touch with that feeling that is the critical thing in being prepared to go in and do this. So if you walk in there, in his case, and I took him through, and I said, you know, you should have done that before you went in. I said, you didn't do it because you were afraid to do it, but that was really why he didn't. But he said, yeah, you know, had I gone in there being prepared for that, to accept that circumstance, I would have gotten the part. And he was not prepared to do that. So he has to deal with the feeling. Now, we talked about, you mentioned in the book, one of the chapters about guilt, dealing with guilt and shame and fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's all guilt.
Right.
You see, so for him, the idea of taking that part and being away from his home was a feeling of guilt that he has to deal with, or else he's not going to be able to go forward. So you have to get in touch with your true feelings and really understand what it's going to, how's your life going to change? How are people going to see you differently? What's going to happen to your current friendships and relationships? What will happen when you get this? How is it going to feel? And really, really feel it. I don't mean, you know, I'm not talking about, well, I think it's going to be great if I get this. That's not the feeling.
Mm-mm.
Really getting into the energy of that feeling is the key.
Right. I agree with that 1,000%. So visualization is a real important element before you go in front of anybody or go try to, you know, be present and comfortable in your own skin in a high-pressure situation, which auditions most of the time can be. So would you say that visualization is a good way to get there?
I'm not, you know, visualization I think is good, but I think a lot of visualization is too mental.
Mm-hmm.
So I want people to get more emotional. And I think as much as I like visualization and positive visualization has proven to work in certain cases,
mm-hmm.
I think it's tremendously more powerful when you get into the emotion of what's happening.
So you
and that's
to visualize emotions, basically.
Yeah, but get into the feel, yeah, whatever you want to call it. But it's not, because I think people see visualizing as seeing it.
Yeah.
But I want them to feel it.
Got it. Very good point.
And there's a very big difference.
Yes, good distinguishment. So what would you say to people who aren't comfortable in this high-pressure situation, no matter what it is? How would you tell them to get comfortable? What would you say to them?
Well, the first thing that I always say to people is you have to detach yourself from the outcome. Because when you get attached to the outcome, you immediately disrupt your energy. So, for example, this happens in a sales situation, or if you're going on an audition, or you're trying to get a job, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go in there, it's kind of like trying to get a date when you're desperate. You know how that works?
Oh, yes.
So you can't go in there and create all this pressure on yourself like saying, wow, if I don't get this, I'm really in trouble. And it's because it's the same way of going out to try to make a sale and saying, wow, if I don't get this deal today, I'm going to really be in trouble now. So you have to detach yourself from the outcome and just place yourself in a position of peace and say, okay, I'm here because I'm supposed to be here, and I'm going to go in here and do what I have to do. And then let it just unfold naturally as it is supposed to. And don't get yourself all caught up in, you know, I should do this, and if I do this, and if I don't do this, just be yourself. This is the thing that I'm always saying to people. Be, and I know you're actors, right? You're saying actors, but you, mm-hmm. yourself always comes through regardless of what it is that you're doing.
Yes.
And the more you are truthful to yourself and the more you are being yourself, the more powerful you are going to be in that performance, or you're going to be in that sales call, you're going to be in that job interview. So that is the key, is to be comfortable with being who you are and not being attached to the outcome. And now you go in there in a much more relaxed state.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're relaxed and comfortable, good things happen.
I agree with that, and that's exactly the way I do my radio show. I just don't even think about what's going to come out of my mouth next. I don't really prepare. I trust whatever's meant. The audience for all of us is inside of us, basically. So all you have to do is just let that be free and step out of your own way. And just in doing that helps you become comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah, I think part of it is just trusting, because what you're really talking about, Kate, is trusting.
Right.
Which is saying, I trust myself. And I used to do the same thing. When I used to do seminars, I used to script every word and knew what I was going to say and knew what I was going to tell a story and knew what I was going to do. And now I have a basic outline,
mm-hmm.
and I go in there and say, you know what, I'm going to have this outline, and I'm just going to kind of let it take me wherever it takes me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's been a lot more fun, and it's been a lot more powerful, and I've connected with the audience at a much higher level, because I'm not in there saying, well, I better get to this by this time, and I better get to this by this time. So
yeah.
It does change your whole feeling and your vibration.
Well, it's because of who you are. It's because you care more about the emotional connection and more about the feelings that you leave people with than about selling something, and that's clear. And I would much rather do business with people like that rather than a predatory type of person, and we've all seen them, and they're out there. And not to put down corporate America, but this concept of selling, that spiritual selling, if what kind of world would it be if all the corporations started using these concepts? What do you see?
Well, I think you would see a very different world, and I believe, and I know, you know, you and I have, I think, are agreed on this. We're starting to see this change take place, but what you would see is you would see companies that were revolving around healing and not revolving around money, and it doesn't mean they can't do both. So when you see companies that are bottom line driven and that are greed driven, which is what most corporations are, these decisions are made based on the dollar, and they're not based on the people, and not based on the resources, and not based on, they're based on stock price, and they're based on this, and they're based on that. So, you know, I always look at people and say, always go to your why. Why are you making that decision? Why are you going here? Why are you doing this? And if corporations were working off a spiritual platform, they would make decisions that were good for the whole and not necessarily good for the few, which is really what has happened in many cases where it's like, okay, how can we make the most money? And it's almost like a collateral damage thing. Okay, if these people get hurt in the process, that's okay. So this is really where you have to come at this from a different place. I think you would see a much kinder, gentler world and a much more receptive world if people were doing this in corporate America.
Absolutely. I guess what you're saying is basically if it all became a win-win situation and that's what was in everybody's consciousness and heart and that was what their intention was, is win-win.
Yeah, and you said the word. The word is intention. What is your intention when you go do this? You know, what is your intention when you go out to sell something? What is the company's intention? What is the company's driving force? What drives these companies forward? You know, these are all the things that you have to look at, and the intentions will always come to the surface. And eventually, you know, we've seen Enrons, and we've seen, you know, Adelphias, and we've seen it happen a million times. What happens when the greed takes over? Eventually, there's going to be a decay from inside. We saw it going back to the Roman Empire, and we saw it, you know, it has happened throughout history. So now, you know, the corporations are now the new Roman empires.
Well,
so
greed,
this is the same thing.
Yeah, greed basically, just for the sake of being greed, consumes itself because it's greedy.
Yeah, and eventually it becomes this, again, this energy is momentum. So all of a sudden the momentum just overtakes and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it just kind of it eats itself up.
Yeah, well, there's a momentum that's going on consciousness-wise. Did you see the full moon eclipse last night?
Yes, no, I did not, but I did read about it. Thank you. I got your email, and I thought it was the 28th?
After midnight is the 28th.
Oh, that's right. Okay, it was last night.
My partner Alex Schief, who does co-creator of quantum hypnotherapy with me, we did a quantum hypnotherapy session late last night, and just decided to go up on top of Mulholland. I don't know if you know where Mulholland is.
Yes, you can see
everything from up there. Mm-hmm. And we watched it from 2 in the morning until, gosh, about 4 o'clock this morning, 4:20. And the whole thing, it was like a giant lead orange balloon up in the sky. It was so surreal. It was amazing. It was incredible. And there's a shift taking place. And you know, the email I sent out about that, which is, you know, if people have been feeling a little sick lately or energetically drained, they're dizzy, they're tired, they can't wake up, there is just a huge shift taking place in the world and energetically that is causing us all to feel a little different. And it can't be stopped. It's a momentum that is bringing to us exactly what it is that you and I are talking about right now. And the purpose of this radio show is to raise consciousness. And it's a wave that just won't be stopped. And The Secret, the movie The Secret, was largely responsible for, you know, waking up a lot of people who were uninitiated, who are now starting to look inside, go within, and if it took a little bit of promise for, you can have all the money in the world if you think like this, if that's what it took to get their attention, then bless it.
And, you know, I agree with you. So many people have criticized The Secret for that, and I said to people, you know what? Had they marketed this on a level of energy work that I have done and that you have done,
mm-hmm.
Not one person would have bought that thing, and not one person would have looked at it other than the people who were really hardcore. And I said, I think it was great for the fact that it did raise consciousness in what you said, and they focused on what people, you know, my spiritual teachers always say to me, you know, sell the people what they want and then give them what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the key to the whole thing.
Absolutely. And connecting with them emotionally and connecting with them as one human to another makes all the difference in the world. And that's really what it's all about, where you care that they win and you care that they get what they need and you care that their problem is solved and you care that their pain is relieved. And that's what you're doing, and that's fantastic. Before I gloss over this, I want to make sure that we let our listeners know where you're going to be in the next few months and if you'll be coming to their area. So I have something in front of me on your website that maybe I can help you out with that if you don't have it in front of you.
Yes, I do.
Oh, good. You want to go ahead?
Well, I will be. We have an event coming up in New York on the 26th of September.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a two-day spiritual selling workshop also in New York at the LaGuardia Airport, which is on October 12th and 13th. I'll be in Miami, Florida on October 26th, and then I'll be in Orange County, California, doing a two-day workshop November 2nd and 3rd. So all that information is on spiritualselling.com and all the links to those events.
Right.
So plus a series of teleclasses and all other things that are going on as well. So
right. And if actors wanted to come to your seminar, they would get a lot out of that, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Because the bottom line is, you know, people say to me, is this, you know, people have read the book and all the interviews that I've been doing now, and yourself included, and I thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Well, thank you.
Have all said things to me like, well, this is not just a sales book. This is a book that can help you do so many different things.
Yeah, exactly. It really is.
And that's what the events are like as well. We want to give you the tools from the strategic side to that you can meld into the spirituality. But once you understand the energy work and once you start to apply this, you can use it anywhere.
Oh, absolutely. It's crystal clear to me that you totally can, because energy is energy.
It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you're trying to get a movie role or trying to sell a computer chip or whatever. It's all the same stuff.
Whatever it is. It's wonderful. So are you planning to, anytime in the near future, do a seminar at the Learning Annex in Los Angeles?
I actually did. You know, it was funny. I was going to do one this time, but I couldn't get into their catalog at the right time when I was coming there. I do some Learning Annex work in New York. I have done the Los Angeles sector as well, and I will be coming back out there in 2008.
Well, you know what? I have a brainstorm here. I just want to run past you and see what you're going to do with it, if you do anything with it. If you were to write a book for actors or for entertainment industry or for artists that would speak to them on their terms, on their level, which pretty much the spiritual selling book does already, but I mean just gear it towards that, what do you think would happen with that?
I don't know. I guess, you know, that's another niche market to get into there's a lot of different niches. That's one of them. I think, again, people would look at acting in a different way and look at their,
yes,
their craft and their lives in a different way.
Yes.
Again, the same kind of thing. It's about the same thing. It's about changing and shifting feelings and energy. So however that takes place, it will take place.
Yeah, because an actor is coming to that audition to solve the casting director's problem.
Exactly.
And also
the actor is looking to connect with the casting director.
Yes.
It's the same thing.
Yes, connect emotionally,
right.
Establish credibility, and really fulfill a need that they have so they can go home and play with their kids.
It comes down to everything in life comes down to how the other person made you feel.
Absolutely, and
so,
people might not remember what you said, but they will remember how you made them feel.
Well, I can guarantee they won't know what you said, but they will know. They will know. You know. They will definitely forget, because you know people forget everything that you talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like in Confucius, as Confucius always said. You know, we forget what we hear, and we remember what we do. So it's one of those things where when we do something and we feel something, we're going to connect to it and remember it. And, you know, it's kind of like when you look forward to seeing certain people and there are certain people you don't want to see.
Right.
That's all based on how they make you feel. And
yes.
It's all the same. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're trying to get a date or whether you're trying to get a job or whether you're trying to make a sale or whether you're trying to get an audition. It's the same exact energy. There is no difference.
And you're vibrating that energy no matter what the situation is, and people can feel it.
Makes no difference.
Absolutely.
That's what I say. It doesn't matter. That's what people say. Well, does it work for this? I said, doesn't matter. It's like gravity. It just works.
Right. It does. So tell me a little bit. Tell our listeners also about the key perpetuators of fear.
Well, there's a lot of perpetuators of fear. You know, I really look at fear. There's so many different things going on. And we all grew up as fear-based people, and most of us grew up in a fear-based environment, pretty much all of us, or we wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
And we also grew up in a mentality, many people, of lack. So we have this kind of lack and fear thing going on simultaneously. And one of the things I work with people on in the live events is we talk about two different things. And we talk about fear of success, and we talk about fear of failure.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're different feelings, although they are cousins. So a lot of people, believe it or not, in my experience, are a lot more afraid of succeeding than they are of failing.
Oh, I know it.
And it's a very, you know, people say, oh, come on, that's not true. And I say, no.
They are
really afraid. People are really afraid of failing. And what happens is,
They're afraid of succeeding.
Yeah, they're afraid of succeeding. And what happens is really, you have to look at this energetically. And when I actually use a diagram when I do this live and show people the transition, how it takes place, and you actually go from wherever you are, we're always going through transitions of energy. That's why you always feel disrupted over different periods of time, because when you're going through a transition, you're going to feel disrupted. So I actually have a Venn diagram that I use with three interconnecting circles, and on the left-hand side, the left-hand circle, I have the word old energy, and the right-hand circle is new energy, and in the middle, I call it the gray zone.
Mm.
And what happens with people is whenever we're going to go from the place that we know well, and it doesn't have to be a good place, it's just a place that we know, to go into a new place, we are always going to go into fear and resistance. And that's going to happen automatically because you're being jolted out of the place that you know. This is why you see people repeat the same patterns in relationships and keep attracting the same situations and keep having health problems, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
because even though it's bad, it's a situation. And again, I'll go back to an old saying. And this is why I'm going to actually write a book of all these old sayings because there's so many bad ones.
Yes.
Which is, and I used to hear this at work, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't.
Mm-hmm.
I used to hear this all the time. And I said, what does that mean? Basically saying, well, you're in a bad situation, but you could be in a worse situation.
Right.
So this is kind of all of this unconscious feeling that we have for all these years, which is all these different fears. Say, well, you're over here now. And maybe it's not great, but at least you understand it. Now you want to go over here, and you don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like going up to a cliff. If you're climbing up a mountain and you say, well, I can't see what's on the other side, so I better just stay where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what most people choose to do. They say, well, you know, I'm here, I'm halfway up, I see, I'm almost at the top, but I don't know what's on the other side of the top. Is that going to be a big drop-off? Is that going to be an ocean? What's it going to be? I don't really know if I want to see it. So I'll stay where I am. And most people, because they are fearful of going into this transition of new energy, are going to hold themselves in that position of nowhere and
yes.
just stay where they are, because most people would rather not have pain. The fear of pain is so powerful that even though they say, well, this could be much better, but I'm so afraid that it might be painful that I'm going to stay here. So that really is the big issue with pain to me and fear.
Yes, and what the fear is revealing to us is basically that we are just about to step outside of our comfort zone.
Yeah, we're moving out of our energy that we know. We're moving into energy we don't know how to do it. I'll tell you a funny story. A couple of years ago, I was just starting to really kind of do this more and get more out there and people getting to know me a little bit. And I got a call to be on a panel. This was on through the telephone even. It wasn't even live.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Joe Vitale was on that. That's how we met.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple other pretty big people, Michael Gerber from the E! Some bigger people. And, you know, I was really excited. I said, wow, they called me. I can't believe it. And, you know, I'm going to be on this panel with these great people.
Mm-hmm.
And about a week before, my eye started to twitch.
Ah.
And I'm sitting here saying to myself, like, why is my eye twitching? And again, I'm always doing this introspective work, and I'm pretty
mm-hmm.
connected to how I feel.
Right.
I said, why is my eye twitching? Why is my eye twitching? And what finally came out of it for me was the fear of stepping up on a level with these people who had been out there for a while and were more known than I was. But that was so my whole feeling with fear, what you want to do is you want to embrace this fear
mm-hmm.
because you don't want to go into resistance and say, oh, I'm not going to be afraid. If you are afraid, you are afraid. It's
mm-hmm.
okay. And that's the way to dissolve the fear, is to admit it
mm-hmm.
and not resist it.
And own it.
Own it. You got
and
it.
And also, fear can be an indicator that you're about to do something wonderful. And what I've done with fear in the work that I'm doing is there's an acronym for fear. You probably have heard it, of false evidence appearing real.
Well,
I've taken it a step mm-hmm. farther, and I call it, the acronym is feeling excited and ready.
That's good. We would hope. But I always want people to feel those feelings of fear because they are real.
Yes.
And they should not be ignored.
No. And it's science is even starting to discover that emotions and feelings are a lot more important in day-to-day life than they gave them credit for. Because
you can't
do anything until you know how you feel about it, really.
Absolutely unquestionable.
Yes. So that's a very, very good topic, is fear and feelings and your emotions. For actors in particular, the words just sit on top of the emotions, and if you're not able to play those emotions like every single octave of them, then you're not going to be a powerful actor. You have to be able to get in touch with them and learn them and not be afraid of them and embrace them.
And manage them.
And
manage. It's all part of the same thing.
Absolutely. So I might be, now I'm looking at that differently. I manage actors and I manage emotions.
Yes.
Interesting.
Well, I always thought of when I was managing salespeople that that's all I was doing.
Is what?
I'm managing their feelings. I'm not managing them.
Yes.
I'm managing how they feel.
That is a wonderful way to approach it.
Yeah, and that's always how you approach it with people, because I'm not managing the individual. I'm managing the energy, which is the feeling of the person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one thing I love to do for my clients, number one, they're just wonderful human beings. Who happen to be talented, but just to let them know who they are and just remind them of their divinity and remind them of their true nature and remind them of who they were born to be and to find out what their purpose is here and what is their intention behind being an actor. Do they just want fame for fame's sake? Do they want to be, you know, wealthy? Do they want to make a difference and help other people connect with their own emotions because they're able to so eloquently and wonderfully play their own emotions for them on the screen that other people can learn to feel again by watching their performance? You know, there's all kinds of reasons people get into this profession, and a lot of the reasons are because they did not get their needs met when they were children. So,
well, obviously, you know, we're all looking for the same thing. We all are lacking love on some level.
Yes.
And that is really the healing work. So the healing work is each person goes out and is looking to get this feeling of love. The problem is most people are trying to get that feeling from the outside.
Right.
And what we have to understand is, you know, you could be the biggest movie star in the world, and you could be, everybody could know you, and it could, you could be the most popular person at a party. But the bottom line is this, none of that means anything if you don't feel it.
Yes.
And so really, you know, this is what I always say to people, don't be looking at getting external things is all nice and it's wonderful. You want to get a car, you want to get a house, and you want to, that's all good stuff. Don't get me wrong. The bottom line is you don't get peaceful by accumulating external things. You get peaceful when you feel good about who you are, and you are congruent, and you are in your mission, and you feel good about yourself. And it doesn't matter if every person in the world says you're great. It doesn't matter. None of that means anything. That's all gravy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to get anchored here and say to ourselves, this is not about me looking for the outside world to give me a stamp of approval. This is about me internally elevating myself and healing myself so I don't need that.
Yes, and surrendering to who you really are, which is pure God stuff, star stuff.
Yeah, that,
what
and
you
now you're moving
you can
into
heal, as a matter of fact. And if you can't feel it, you can't heal it.
If you cannot get into the field, you could, like I said, that's why people get addicted to accumulating things and thinking that it's kind of like a drug addict. And it's not, again, the same energy, compulsive energy.
Right.
I'm always looking for the thing that will make me happy, and there is no thing.
Mm-hmm. There is no thing. Your happiness is found inside of you.
So that's why people go into acting saying, wow, if people approve of me and people think I'm good, that's going to heal me, but it's not.
No.
In many cases, it makes it worse, actually.
Yes, and
I'm sure you've seen that.
Yeah, it's a false sense of security, a false sense of self, and feelings buried alive never die. So it really behooves everybody to investigate what it is that's driving them. Like your actor friend who had a guilt issue by leaving his family if he took that part. Well, my guess is somewhere in his childhood that guilt issue happened when he was taking everything literally up until the age of 8. Something happened that caused him at age 8 to make an adult decision about himself and sentence himself to a life of feeling guilt. But if you track that all the way back to the age that it happened and resolve it, then you can then free yourself from the old behavior pattern of that guilt and approach life with a lot more freedom and peacefulness.
And again, as you said, it's going back to the feeling that is generating the guilt. We're in a country that is very focused on effect. You know, we kind of look at, okay, I'm fat, I better go join a gym, or I don't have any money, I better work harder, or, you know, this is how, I don't have any relationships, I'm not on enough internet sites. So that's the effect, and we have to look at the cause. And this is where people start to make dramatic changes in their lives, when they start to say, I have to go to the cause of the problem, I have to go right to the cause. Forget about the effect. The effect is just a result of my vibration of energy. I have to get to the cause to heal it. If I don't get to that cause, I'm going to just keep doing it over and over.
Absolutely. And I just really, really want to thank you, Joe Nunziata, for being my guest this evening.
I'm going to have to get that on tape. I'm going to have to get the recording of that so I can play it in my office.
I love to say your name. I hope all of America loves to say your name, the whole world. SpiritualSelling.com, everybody. Go to the website. Check out the book. I highly recommend it. It's a wonderful read, and it will get you in touch with things that you won't expect, and you're getting way more than your money's worth out of this book. And I'm sure that you, Joe, have invested not only your lifetime, but maybe $1 million or so in the material that people will find in this book, and you're selling it for a mere pittance of what you've invested into yourself to create this wonderful work. And I just hope that the sales go through the roof and you're number one bestseller, and I'll be watching for you everywhere. And when you're here in California, when you're in Los Angeles, give me a jingle and we'll talk. But thank you.
We will.
My guest.
I like that. You had a good you had that acting thing.
Yeah,
you
we'll
get
talk.
That New York thing. I've worked for so many years to work on my Brooklyn accent that, you know, when someone says that, I find it to be very, very funny.
Well, you know, I love that you have a tiny bit of an accent. I could tell where you're from right away.
Yeah, that's good. I didn't want to lose the people said, oh, you, I said, I really don't want to lose the whole thing.
No,
it's part of my whole thing.
No, it's endearing. What for? You know, it's your trademark. It's part,
right,
of your,
yeah.
part of your brand.
It's part of my brand, exactly.
Yeah, so I just want to say to everybody, next week we're going to have Michael Wallach, who is a talent manager with a new book with a catchy name called How to Get Arrested. So tune in next week and see how you can. And I just want to say to everybody right now, take a deep breath, stand up really straight, and love yourselves and seize your someday. Thanks again, Joe. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you so much
Welcome.
For having me.
Good night.
Good night.